An hour's come and gone. It's time to ask House File 1450. And we'll do that. Representative Draskowski, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1450 is a bill, Mr. Chair, that is intended for us to develop an account, a transportation account for state transportation dollars to be received into for cities of 5,000 or less. As most people are probably aware, we have a constitutionally dedicated account that receives money from our dedicated gas tax, license tab tax, and a portion of the MVEST tax that goes to cities of 5,000 or more, but cities of 5,000 or less do not receive those types of dollars. And so what this bill aims to do, and Mr. Chair, I have an amendment for this bill that would change it, that would actually look at basing the distribution of this based on population and number of lane miles in the municipality. But that's the bill, and it's intended to be one that we could help actually bring state transportation dollars, whether it's general fund dollars or whatever the will of the legislature is, to the small cities in Minnesota.
Representative Green, you want to move the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 1450, and then be appropriate to move the amendment now too. Then, and I'd also like to move the A1 amendment.
Representative Draskowski, you got anything to say about the A1 amendment?
I do, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Green. This amendment, as I mentioned, it changes it from a grant to a distribution based on a formula, and that formula is 50% based on lane miles in the municipality and 50% based on per capita. And so it's a hybrid between the two. And Mr. Chair, Mr. Burris ran for us on this bill a run of what this would look like if, for instance, we were able to appropriate to this fund $30 million, which would provide for about the same per capita amount as the cities over 5,000 are currently getting from their constitutionally dedicated funds. So if we put it on a per capita basis on par with those cities over 5,000, it would be about $30 million. And the run that he has here reflects that. And I will mention that we have 853 cities in Minnesota, of which, and I can't remember the exact amount, but over 700 of them are 5,000 or less.
Okay. All in favor? Any questions from the membership on the A1 amendment? Seeing none. Everyone's in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Your bill isn't the way you want it to be. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I have with me Scott Splitsdozer, who is the mayor of the city of Minnieska, and population
116.
And he'd like to say a few things about the bill and how it would impact Minnieska.
Welcome to our committee. Give your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Scott Splitsdozer. Mayor of Minnieska, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of our town. Minnieska is located along the banks of the Mississippi between Wabasha and Winona. It's quite possibly the most picturesque little city in the state of Minnesota as far as I'm concerned. Established in 1857, we have a population of 116 people. Along with that small population, we have a very small budget. Our total assets are $48,000. We depend mostly on volunteers for cutting brush, mowing, cleaning culverts, ditch cleanup, sign repair, and pothole patch, and which leads me to why I'm here. We don't have the funding for any major street repairs that are needed. Raising taxes enough to meet the needs of our streets would be too much to bear for our aging community, who are largely on a fixed income. Minnesota is an awesome community, great place. It's the hardworking people, tax-paying, very proud of this little town, but it's very concerned about its future. We realize we're not a Rochester or a St. Paul, but small towns like ours are still the backbone of this great state, and they need a voice. We would appreciate any assistance that would become available. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your testimony. Any questions from the membership? Representative Mahoney.
This is a question for the author. I'm looking at Section B, page 1, line 6 through 1.10, and you say revenue shall distribute the funds in the same manner as local government aid under Chapter 477A. Now, are you, are you taking any money out of the local government aid pot? Not so much the formula, but the actual pot of money that goes into local government aid with your bill?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney, no.
Okay.
What the bill would do is, and that language is inserted in there to have the Commissioner of Revenue do it so that we don't run into some of the regulations and limitations on local governments that MnDOT would normally provide when the funds go through them. So we would distribute it directly to the municipalities, similar to and revenue would be directed to distribute those funds similar to the way that it does LGA. But no, it doesn't touch, this bill doesn't touch the LGA formula or existing LGA allocations.
Mr. Chair,
that's not to say that, that maybe somebody might want to put some LGA money in here, but that's not what this bill says.
Mr. Chair, and again, a question for the author. So you want to run the grant program through the Department of Revenue rather than the Department of Transportation, correct?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's correct.
Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, the thing that worries me about this is actually kind of what you just said. You don't want any of the strings that are attached to the regulation or the oversight that the Department of Transportation might have a voice in it. I'm sure that there's never, ever been a city council person or a mayor of any town ever got their street plowed or swept or repaired before anyone else's. But I'm sure that, you know, if you give a pot of money, that will be a temptation for someone. I do remember that my street got plowed pretty well when I was first elected. I'm not sure exactly why that happened. And I thought that was pretty unconscionable, really, because a couple of my neighbors were in streets different, had much more problems than I did. So why don't you want the Department of Transportation to say that this would be a good asphalt, or this is probably not your highest priority, or you know, you've got, you know, potholes that two Starbucks could be in rather than just one, but you're going to, you know, redo this street over here because that's your main thoroughfare. Why don't you want any oversight by the Department of Transportation?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mahoney. Well, Representative Mahoney, I think experience has shown us, and I've actually worked with the mayor here, and we've looked at existing MnDOT grant programs, for instance, and they have there's one particular one that we thought maybe Minnesota would qualify for, but there's so much structure placed around that. For instance, if I remember correctly, you had to have a certain number of miles of county highway going through your town or in or attached to the road that you were looking to repair. We want to avoid those types of structural impediments to these local communities to give them the autonomy to build out the roads and bridges that they need to build out within their particular city. So we want to give them the autonomy to use this money without state government interfering as bureaucracies do here every day.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
And I've really only read this twice. You know, as the chair knows, I read bills on a regular basis. As I read your bill, the Department of Transportation is almost prohibited from having any kind of collaboration with the cities, these small towns. Is that your intent?
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mahoney, no. Not at all, but I want to leave the control up to the local city in terms of what they do with it, and would like them to lead the effort to build the roads out in their particular communities. Certainly, we want to leverage their relationship with MnDOT to the extent possible to provide them the assistance that they need, et cetera, but to at the same time retain the full autonomy that local city would have.
Well, Mr. Chair, and then I'll be done. Your bill doesn't do that. Your bill just doesn't do that. And if you wanted a new program at MnDOT, you should have designed a new program at MnDOT that gave that authority and that anonymity, but that ability for the department to work with these small towns. Because I want to know, to the mayor, how many roads have you constructed? That'll be one question, just more it's rhetorical. Most small town mayors or city council people are making those decisions. Know what street has the pothole, but they may not have the understanding what's underneath. So they'll just do a grind and overlay when the road really should be rebuilt. I mean, I got a couple spots in my district that they did that to time and time and time again. And we finally said you can't just overlay it again because the underlying pieces. I mean, every year you spend $50,000 or $60,000 to do an overlay, and you're doing it every year because the underlying Class 5 has basically washed away. And we had to actually bring the city engineer out to take a look and do the whole deal. So I'm just saying, I don't think your bill is quite the way you want it, and I think the unintended consequences might have some issues.
Mayor Spitzoser, I think what he's trying to ask is, what expertise do one of those 116 citizens in Minnesota have in building roads?
We're not claiming to have any expertise, but we also don't have a city engineer. We don't necessarily wouldn't fall under some of the grants that we were trying to get. You know, we've got maybe a total of not even 2 miles of city streets, you know, and we would just like some help without a lot of red tape somehow to work on some of these streets. And every avenue we've tried to take, we run into a roadblock to get any kind of assistance. I mean, we could go raise our property taxes again and do this and do that. But you got to realize we just don't have the revenue to do that. And it is a beautiful little city. We've got two of the best wood carvers in the United States there. We've got a beautiful Catholic church. And it's just a shame to see this small town, because we don't have the revenue, not getting any assistance from the state of Minnesota.
Representative Norton.
Mr. Chair, if I could add.
Please.
Thank you. Each county in the state also has a county engineer that works with their municipalities. They also have the local road contractors who will work with them and provide their expertise, not to mention MnDOT, as we mentioned. Not all knowledge comes from St. Paul, and I think our counties and other infrastructure in our rural communities provide that support to the extent that they need. Not to mention that MnDOT is a phone call away.
Thank you for that clarification. I didn't see it in the bill. Maybe I missed it. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was out for the beginning, and I apologize. But I, too, I think want to just reiterate some of the things I was hearing as I walked in. And I serve on the Transportation Committee, and we've had a bill or two actually come through that talks about funds for road construction for cities under 5,000. And it seems to me that this... it might be more appropriate to go through that path than this, or that the two of you could work together on that particular bill that's already moving and has been heard in transportation, and I didn't hear whether this was going there.
This
but
is going
yeah.
to transportation.
But there is something already moving that you might want to piggyback with. The thing that I reacted to, Representative Drazkowski, is your comment about control to local cities. I hear that from you a lot. I hear it about this bill. And I'm someone who came from a background of local control. And yet, there are bills out there to take control away from my city and not allow them to make decisions that are appropriate for their community and how they spend their money. So I just couldn't sit here and let you say this is about control for local communities without saying I would ask that of you with regard to my own cities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Norton. Well, Representative Norton, we'll have that discussion when we bring the bill through, and I look forward to that for sure. This bill is going to transportation. Representative Davids has a similar bill. Him and I have been both talking about the fact we have similar bills, and hope that one will survive and we can get the best ideas brought forward as we go through the process.
Representative Mahoney.
And just to clarify for Representative Drazkowski and the mayor, my district has about 30 to 35% senior citizens on fixed incomes, and unless something that I'd be totally shocked coming out of the transportation bills, we're going to have to raise property taxes, and we have used property tax dollars to fix our roads. And you know, if the way that this legislative session is working, we're probably going to use some of their property tax dollars that come to the state to repair the roads in small towns. Maybe that's not fair either.
Any other? Yeah, Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Drazkowski. Just curious, when we're setting up a fund, but we really don't have any appropriations tied to this fund, where those dollars might come from, and if you have an idea as to how much would be put into this fund.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lean, and that's a perfect question. I don't know how much at this point. The run that you have in front of you suggests $30 million, and that would put this fund and the cities that it relates to on the same amount approximately per capita that the cities over 5,000 are now getting through their municipal state aid highway fund that they have. So at least in my mind as author of the bill, that would make sense. In terms of where the money would come from, I've talked to, there's at least three bills that different authors have to repurpose existing sales taxes that are going to the general fund into potentially a special fund like this one or other ones. Representative Howe's got one, I think, that takes existing sales tax for tires and other car accessories and dedicates them. Representatives Swazinski and Kosnick also have similar bills relating to lease vehicle sales taxes, both long and short term. So those are places, and I'm talking to those authors about that, and certainly the chairs of the committees, respective committees of taxes and transportation.
Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up then, would you anticipate some of these other bills coming together with this bill and an omnibus transportation bill, or once it goes to conference committee, putting some of that together? I know it can be difficult if you don't sit on that conference committee, but just kind of curious as to how that would work out through the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lean, I think that will really be dictated by the targets that come out, when they come out, and then the respective committee targets. And certainly, I think both taxes and transportation will need to be talking about those targets and figuring out how that works. And I don't have the crystal ball, but certainly there's going to have to be that adequate amount of discussion to make that happen effectively.
Thank you.
Representative Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kosky, here we are again.
We got a quick meeting like this, Representative Moran.
So as I was listening and reading your bill about minimizing the burden on the applicants and does not require specification of individual projects by applicants, you know, and then as I reflected back to yesterday evening, as we talk about eliminating, or it was it auditing, to do an audit of Minnesota Care, because we know fraud exists, according to your statement, that, you know, we want to make sure that we are being accountable to state dollars here at the Capitol. You know, and I would say, in a large way, it was putting really a burden on many of those individuals who are, you know, low-income folks who are probably working two minimum wage job or probably transit and homeless to worry about, you know, an application process or redetermining their the qualification to continue to receive Minnesota Care. But here we are with a transportation bill where there doesn't seem to be much accountability here. So how do you respond to that? You know, how does this bill work along the lines of accountability?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Moran, I agree with you, and that's, as I look at the bill right now and the shape it's in, that's a piece that I would like to add in a future committee, probably in the Transportation Committee, the next stop. I think we need to have cities that receive these monies be accountable to the legislature that they're being spent on roads and bridge projects, because that's what it's intended for. Mm. And so I'd be interested in any input you might have in terms of what that might look like, but we'll plan on an amendment for this as it hits transportation to
Mrs.
do that.
Chair, so we can look forward to some amendments to this bill around accountability, right?
Yes, okay. Representative Moran, and the Transportation Committee, I'll bring it forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the membership? Any questions for or against from the audience? Seeing none, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to renew my motion that House File 1450, as amended, be passed and referred to Transportation Committee.
All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And Representative Johnson, have you read the minutes? Would you please approve the minutes? Representative Johnson moves the minutes of March 12th. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carried. Now we have House File 1111. Representative Hamilton Wick, welcome to our committee. I don't want you to hurry. We have a lot of time. Okay, I will move House File 1111 and refer it to Capital Investment Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I see you have some special guests in the audience here with Farm Bureau, Mr. Chairman. And I think prior to coming to the legislature, I participated in the Young Farmers and Ranchers discussion meet. And is there anyone in the audience that I defeated? Anyone? Anyone?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. I digress.
We also have a bunch of FFA members. Where are you from? Different places?
Laverne.
Laverne. Welcome to our committee.
So thanks, Chairman. I appreciate the latitude there. So today, members, House File 1111 is a funding request for the Lewis and Clark Rural Water System. Just a little bit of background, this was actually, Lewis and Clark system was incorporated in 1990. So we're celebrating our 25th anniversary, if you will, trying to get this pipeline built. And when it was originally brought forth, it was proposed that there would be a 80% federal funds, 10% state match, and 10% local match. Well, the state and the locals did step up and front-loaded this thing and paid their share in full. We are still waiting for the pipe to reach the city of Worthington. And if you remember the debate here last year, we collectively passed a language that was able to fund this pipeline to the city of Laverne. We're still waiting for the city of Worthington as well. And members, I know one of the visiting with other folks, one of the biggest questions is there going to be a state match? And is there going to be a local match? And our argument has been all along that the locals have put a lot of dollars and theirs in this initially. What we are doing to address that issue last year going into Laverne is that through the works of Lewis and Clark and others and trying to scrape some federal dollars and whatnot, we were able to get the pipeline with a 23%, roughly a 23% non-state fund dollars in order to get that accomplished to the city of Laverne and the second hookup, if you will. We are working extremely hard right now trying to do something similar as well. We thank everybody immensely for the passage of the bill last year. And so I know the request is that, Mr. Chairman, I believe it's $48 million. And so we're trying to design a plan along with the same thought process of last year with that, with the state funds and then coming up with roughly that 23% match. We've had a meeting with, and that would be non-state fund dollars, right? We have had a meeting with the Commissioner Franz as well and a rep from the governor's office, and we're looking for various ideas in order to make this work. We need water in Worthington, and this is the solution. I know that, I'll end there, Mr. Chairman. We do have some testifiers if you'd like to hear from those. Otherwise, we are open for questions, comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't we hear from your testifiers first?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Hain. I'm the General Manager of Worthington Public Utilities. I also serve on the Lewis and Clark Board of Directors and also on the Board Executive Committee. Like Representative Hamilton mentioned, we are in our 25th year since incorporation. The first 10 years was spent trying to get the project authorized by Congress. It was authorized and signed into law in 2000 with that 80% federal funding, 10% local, 10% state funding formula. As Representative Hamilton mentioned, we have the three states, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa, and the 20 local members stepped up and prepaid their obligations to date. It's the federal government that we're waiting for. We continue to push the federal government, but since we got a significant injection of stimulus funds, which allowed us to build the treatment plant, federal funding has dwindled to the point where it's, in fact, just because of the $22 million that the state of Minnesota approved in funding for the project last year was the first construction that the project has seen in 2 years. We continue to work with our delegation in D.C. In fact, I was just out there last week visiting with our congressional offices. They're trying to do what they can, their efforts and their success has been tremendously limited. We in Worthington are going on, it will be probably our third year, I anticipate, on a total ban on non-essential water use. The drought has hit us pretty hard down there. All of the communities rely on very shallow wells that are highly susceptible to drought. That is the issue. In addition to Worthington, the remaining members, our neighbor or our water system just to the west of us, Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water, is not connected yet either. They serve in 10 counties in southwest Minnesota, so really the footprint of this project goes well beyond just Rock and Nobles counties.
And we're happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, anybody have a question about the testimony so far?
Mr. Chair, are there other testifiers?
There are other testifiers.
I have a question, but I'll wait.
Mr. Chairman, we do have...
you want to bring up the mayor? Or
you know, we can if you want to hear from him. Otherwise, you know, they said that they're here to answer questions as well. So.
Since they're here in that capacity, any questions from the members?
No. Representative Hamilton, what just for the pieces of the Lewis and Clark that serve the state of Minnesota, what do you know what the total cost is? I mean, just not serving Iowa or South Dakota, but just serving Minnesota?
Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, for the actual pipe placed in the ground, it's a little over $70 million. There's also some additional cost that's not located in Minnesota as far as the water treatment facilities, which we actually get benefit from, and some of the, you know, some of the other pumps, et cetera. But for the actual pipe in the ground, it's just a little over $70 million, right around $70
million. So, Mr. Chair. Did Minnesota have a piece of that, the water treatment and the other pumps and stuff? Do you know what that was? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the total cost that of equipment, material, labor, installation is in Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the total project cost was $573 million. Spent to date is $370 million. However, that's total project cost. The actual cost of the pipe, the labor and everything else, would be right around $70 million. And we are looking to get a breakdown on those, the pumps, the water treatment, et cetera.
Okay. Mr. Chair. In terms of the pipe and installation, because I think that's the dollar figure we have, $70 million, what have the, and I think you said 10, that's kind of the number that I remember, because this issue has been around for many, many years. What has been the investment of that particular region, or that 10 county, or... Last year, I think we did 2 counties and 4 cities. What's that investment so far of that $70 million?
Mr. Chair? Representative Mahoney, Mr. Chair, the total prepayment of the 4 Minnesota members, they're 10%. The way that the project, I guess I can kind of hit 2 of your questions. The shares... Each member's share of the total project cost is based on their percentage of the total allocated capacity of the system. In the case, the 4 Minnesota members have about 18.5% of the total plant capacity at completion. So when Representative Hamilton mentions that's nearly $600 million price tag, that includes, so roughly 10% of that is local share, and roughly 18% of that would be Minnesota share. So that would be a way of getting around to what is, you know, the Minnesota's investment in the capacity of the treatment plant, which is located in Vermilion, South Dakota.
So, Mr. Chair, to the testifier, do you have a dollar figure? Is it $60 million, or is it 10%, 18%
if
of 10%?
What, 18%? Um, the Minnesota share of the total project would be about $108 million. That would be based on the allocated percentage of the project capacity that has been allocated to the four Minnesota members.
So, Mr. Chair,
Representative Mahoney,
I'm just going to follow the numbers. And you're saying that the local people have put in their 10%, and the state prepaid its 10%, and that would be $10 million each. And then last year we came up with $22 million. So the state's paid about 32, and you've paid 10 so far. Close?
So,
give or take a couple million.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, last year the state picked up $22 million out of $27 million total.
Wow, that's even higher numbers.
There's a $5 million non-state match last year, about equates to roughly 23% non-state match.
So, okay. I just wanted to figure out how much we were talking here. And this affects, as I remember the legislation last year, although I wasn't on the full tax committee, I was on the property tax and I followed it a little bit. There were four entities or government entities that were given the authority to do a local option sales tax and bond for a project. So have either of those options been taken, or any of those four entities done a local sales tax option or bonded any money for this?
Mr. Hain?
Speak to
that. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, the that option was evaluated, and I know that the City of Worthington and the City of Laverne both passed the resolutions required to take advantage of that special law. I know that Rock County did not, and I do not believe that Nobles County did either. At this point in time, we have not investigated too deeply the local debt issuance, mainly because of some of the language that was included in that statute, which essentially required a commitment of future federal funds to pay a portion of both the state and local shares of any debt that would be incurred through that borrowing. And the issue with that is the Minnesota members are four members of a 20-member board of directors of Lewis and Clark, so we really don't have the ability to commit the future actions of that board and to how they would spend the federal funding. So that was a language issue that existed in that specific legislation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
I mean, I have not reread that particular statute. But my understanding, the way it was put together last year, was that any monies that were returned to the cities or counties would be used to repay that $46 million that was left. So I don't understand, unless you can come up with a better explanation, why, if the money is just coming back to you as reimbursements, and it would come back through the joint powers agreement that you have with the other three states, or other two states, why that couldn't be used. I mean, is there some legal problem that lawyers couldn't figure out? Oh, my God.
Mr. Hayes.
Mr. Chairman, if I understand your question correctly, I'll try to explain. There remains about over $200 million in construction to complete this project. Of that, all but $48 million is located outside the state of Minnesota in the states of Iowa and South Dakota. Any federal funds that are received on an annual basis are provided to Lewis and Clark, Inc. What we're talking about here is an agreement between the state of Minnesota and the four Minnesota members of Lewis and Clark. The legislation that was passed last year specifically said, and it, as it related to the state's debt service payment, would be the annual debt service incurred by the, whether it be one of the four entities or all four entities that issue debt to finish funding the project. That annual debt service minus a percentage of the two counties' tax capacities minus 50% of federal funding received. The issue with that second minus of that 50% funding, if Lewis and Clark Incorporated, that 20-member board, receives, you know, $5 million, $10 million in federal funding, we cannot commit that they would reduce the state's debt service aid payment as opposed to applying that toward some of that remaining $150 million worth of construction or in construction that's needed in other states.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, so what you're saying is it's a wording problem in the joint powers, the Lewis and Clark joint powers agreement.
Mr. Chair, no, it's not a wording problem. The joint powers exist between the four Minnesota members. What it is four seats, four voting members on a board of 20.
So it's, there's four members on this board of 20 that would vote, would not vote to change this language? Because that's the way I just understood you.
No, I'm sorry, which language are you referring to?
Well, as I understand it, and I actually had the lawyers in this building kind of sit down with me and go through it, and it's essentially wording in your joint powers group that you need to change in order to get around what you just said is the biggest problem you have.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, we have four voting members on a 20-member board.
Correct.
And if we're going to vote to change the language, we lose 4 to 16. And so it's not as easy as one would like. It's like being in the minority. And, you know, so that's the dilemma. Here you have multiple states, and Minnesota has four voting members on that. And so we would like to say that, yes, we'll just go ahead and allocate funds or to get the other states to fall in line, but the fact is we have four voting members. And granted, they want this done as well, and they're just as thankful for the language in which we passed last year as we are, because, you know, they see the benefit of the entire project. And we are and will be water rate payers as well. We'll be purchasing that water, which will help the entire system. But we have to get it built first. And the only reason why we're here is because of the federal government's inability to follow through on their promise. And so, yes, we're all upset about that as well. And we are very thankful that the state has stepped up to help us out. Extremely thankful. We're thankful for the locals as well. To step up. And last year when we were debating that, we did put that tax language, it was in lieu of the bonding language, because we were asking for the full dollar amount, and I promised my vote last year for a $1.2 billion bonding bill in exchange for that, and I was very clear on that. But through whatever reason, we were only able to get a portion of that, but give credit where credit is due. Chair Lynn Chesky and others, we all tried to come together to find some workable language. When we passed that and we tried to actually implement it, there was some issues with that language to actually implement it at a local level as well. And we also currently do have a local option sales tax that is in effect in the city of Worthington. We need to take that into account. And so we're coming back here asking for additional dollars to keep this project going. And you know, we are, like I said, in addition to this language, we are, as we speak, having conversations with Commissioner Franz and the governor's office as well, trying to come up with creative ideas to keep this project going, because the governor does realize the importance of this project also. And I can't stress enough that, you know, we are just as concerned, just as upset with you, because at the local level, we have put our dollars up front. We've done that, and I know the state has as well, the initial dollars. And so what we're trying to do here with this language and speaking here, last year when we were able to fund that, it was a total of $27 million. The state came forth with $22 million of that $27 million, and we were able to work out with non-state match of $5 million. This year, we come forth, and in this bill, it is $48 million in this bill. And so if we do something similar, even if it was a 23% match, we're working extremely hard. He's working, and others, it's extremely hard, trying to mimic, if nothing else, the bill that was passed last year. And with that said, Mr. Chairman, we are still having conversations with the governor's office and the commissioner and others in order to try to get this accomplished, because I haven't run into anybody that said this project should not take place. We're simply trying to navigate through and find a workable solution that every one of us can, you know, support, hopefully.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hamilton, you stated earlier that Laverne and Worthington had exercised their local option sales tax, but the counties of Noble and Rock have not. You've told us that the Joint Powers Agreement group on the Lewis and Clark want to get this done, but you only have 4 votes. You haven't said whether you brought the resolution to them and they told you, no, we're not going to do that. So there are still options on the table. Rather than coming to Representative Sundin's constituents, Representative Johnson's constituents, Lean's constituents, O'Neill's constituents, Hancock's, Garofalo's, every other person's constituents to fund a water problem that you have.
Mr. Chairman, I'm more than happy to address that. Mr. Chairman, we are talking about the most valuable nutrient known to man. And every single project in the bonding bill does exactly what you were talking about, Representative Mahoney, whether we're talking about a restaurant in downtown Minneapolis or a museum or whatever the case may be. We are doing exactly what you're talking about. Representative Sundin, you talked about him. His constituents are paying for that bar, restaurant, whatever, downtown Minneapolis. They're doing that. We are asking for water, the most valuable nutrient known to man, and we have a limited supply. We're asking for water. And you're saying there's been a number of things that are on the table? These number of things have been on the table for 25 years, and we still don't have water. We still don't have water. And I would argue that this project and any project like this would heighten, go right to the top of all the requests on bonding projects. And if any one of your members, if you guys are demanding water and whatever the case may be, I'm more than willing to address that. But to call us out on the project in which we're trying to get for Southwestern, not only the city of Worthington, but a large area in southwestern Minnesota, when we can fund all these other bonding projects, quite frankly, that's a little offensive.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative,
there's nothing in the bonding bill that funds a restaurant or a bar. Absolutely nothing. So that particular argument is a little off. And what I said was, in the bill last year, Nobles and Rock County had the ability to institute a 1% local sales tax option. And apparently that's not been done. I've never denied anything. I've always voted for the bonding bill, I think. I don't think I've ever not voted for the bonding bill on all the projects that are there. But we as a state many years ago set up the Public Facilities Authority to fund these particular things. And we have funded millions, hundreds and hundreds, actually billions of dollars. And I know the head of the PFA is in, and I could call him down and ask, over the last 20 years, was it millions or is it billions of water projects? And they've all gone through that particular project. But if we fund this, if we pay, as a state, pay for your particular water project, which, granted, it's a highly needed issue. There might be other options.
Moran,
I don't know that the federal government would pay us back. They might pay back a local, but because they'll bring local constituents out, but on a state level they won't. So what I'm saying is, why would we, and we're in a finance issue here, unfortunately we're in the policy committee, explain to me how, until you have exercised all the options, whether it's a joint powers issue and taking it to a vote, got all the counties and all the cities that have agreed to it, I mean, that's what they do to us in St. Paul. You always put everything on us to say, go pay for it yourself. And we put a big chunk up most of the time. Why do you want us, before you have exercised all the options that we gave you last year?
How about a baseball diamond in St. Paul?
A what?
Oh. How about a baseball diamond in St. Paul? I know you personally didn't ask for it.
I worked really hard to get it, and the city paid about 25 to 35% of it.
So did the city of Worthington pay for part of it?
Yes, but have they paid for 35% of the Lewis and Clark? Has this 10-county area paid for the 35% of Lewis and Clark?
Mr. Chairman?
We'll go there.
I think we have, and we have other people have questions, too.
Now stop.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I will, for the next debate, I will come forth with all the bonding proposals.
You don't have to.
All right.
Thank you. First of all, we have Representatives Sundin, Lean, and Moran, in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll pick up where Representative Mahoney left off. I'd like to follow the pipeline rather than the dollars right now.
Thank you.
For the investment that the state of Minnesota has made and all the local investment, how much pipeline do we have laid in the state of Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, the $22 million that was provided by the state last year plus the match is actually constructing the pipeline from the Minnesota-Iowa border to the city of Luverne and somewhat beyond. So the dollars that have been invested by the local member, which was in the neighborhood of $9 million, and the state's prepayment, which was on the order of five or so, that actually all went toward treatment plant construction, which is obviously a necessary component of a water system, so you have something in it. So to answer the question, it was the $22 million plus the non-state match is essentially getting from the Iowa border to Luverne.
Those lines are in place and there's water flowing through them right now?
They will be. The construction contract was awarded and it is currently under construction. Luverne expects to be connected by the fall of this year.
Okay. The money is administered through Lewis and Clark, Inc. Can you explain that to me a little bit better? You know, we have plenty of good government oversight here. But when that money leaves the state into South Dakota, not that all South Dakota's residents are shady characters, but there's a few of them. can you explain, how much oversight is offered over that money?
Mr. Chairman, are you referring to the state dollars or to the federal dollars or the local dollars?
Mr. Chair, all the money, who's got the oversight over Lewis and Clark, Inc.?
Lewis and Clark, Inc. is governed by a 20-member board of directors that has a representative from each of the 20 members. 11 members are South Dakota communities or rural water systems. 5 are Iowa communities. And 4 are Minnesota entities, 2 communities of Worthington and Luverne, and the 2 rural water systems of Rock County Rural Water and Lincoln Pipestone.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm glad that the pipe is going in the ground right now and we're moving forward. I plan on supporting this effort. But moving forward, is there going to be more dollars leaving the state to facilitate that filtration plant in Vermilion?
Mr. Chair, in fact, no. The treatment plant is operational. Really, the only thing that we're here asking the state to help us out with is the actual physical construction of pipeline to connect the 4 Minnesota members so they can start receiving water. any additional capacity upgrades to the treatment plant will be handled with future federal funds as they become available.
Just to continue, the other states that are involved, Iowa, who's receiving water already, South Dakota, the municipalities and businesses are receiving water. Are they fully participating? Have they ponied up all the money that they should? Can you tell me that?
Mr. Chair, yes. All of the 20 members have prepaid their local share. 10 of 11 of the 11 South Dakota members are connected and receiving water. One of five Iowa members is connected. There are still four unconnected members in Iowa. This fall, Rock County Rural Water, because of the $22 million appropriated by the state last year and the non-state match, Rock County Rural Water will have one of their two connections, and the city of Laverne will be connected. The remaining construction in Minnesota would be Rock County Rural Water's second connection at Magnolia, Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water, and the city of Worthington. But to answer your question, yes, all 20 of the Lewis and Clark members have prepaid 100% of their local obligations. Unfortunately, the way you build a pipeline is from the treatment plant out, and those who were closest to the pipeline, which essentially means 10 of the 11 South Dakota members, are now enjoying, you know, the luxury of actually receiving water, while one South Dakota community remains, is not connected, four Iowa communities, and two of the four Minnesota members are unconnected to the system yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a question for Council. Taking a look at the research summary, under Section 1, page 2 of the last sentence, appropriations to pay debt service may be reduced or repealed entirely and are subject to unallotment. Just curious if there's precedent of that happening, and if not, where we may find ourselves.
Mr. Chair, Deb Dyson from House Research.
Indeed, Deb. I couldn't remember the Dyson part.
Sorry.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Lean, not to my knowledge that the appropriation bonds haven't been used that often, but the ones that have been issued for the Vikings and for the refunding of the tobacco revenue bonds that were issued, unallotment or cancellation of the standing appropriation to pay debt service has not happened.
Okay. Thank you. And just to follow up then, do you, I don't know, care to weigh in on where we might find ourselves if we were to see an unallotment or the state not pay on those?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lean, it is clearly an option for the state to refuse or to cancel the appropriation. It would be very bad news for the state to do so. The state's credit rating would be adversely affected, clearly.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Morant. Representative Moran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to thank the testifier. I think I'm getting some clarity on some of this here, especially in regards to the board members. But to Representative Hamilton, I hear your passion and to know the needs of water is always a necessity. And what you said, this has been going on for like 28 years of trying to make this possible, I guess. So what is the holdback? What's the holdback?
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman and Representative, it's to my knowledge, it was the federal government committed to fund this, and because of the policies in place out there, the funding has dried up. And some would say it's because the lack of earmarks or whatever the case may be, but the funding is not coming this way. Even though they promised this, they even sent a letter guaranteeing that they would pay us back if we would front load and pay this bill. Now, I suppose none of us can really take that letter to the bank and cash it. It's more of a feel-good thing, but it's the only reason why we're here is because of the federal government's inability to follow through on their promise.
Mr. Chair.
Zimmerman?
Well, I guess we can all say the federal government is pretty messy, right? You know, I guess this is not the first time that we as a state has asked for local government to pay a fair share and other entities to pay their share of this. And what do you think is, you know, in your opinion, why Rock and Noble County do not, are they not the county that need the water? And why are they not doing what they need to do to get the water?
So, well, Mr. Chairman, and I was visiting with some other members who have been former county commissioners, and they're saying that it would be extremely difficult to move something like this as a county commissioner. That's just a few people's thoughts or opinions. But again, some of the locals are saying that we front-loaded this and we have paid for this at the very beginning, right? We are working extremely hard, Representative Moran. We are working extremely hard to see what other options are out there. And I know, like I said, this bill states the full dollar amount to complete it all the way to Worthington. We are in the discussions right now trying to come up with some additional dollars similar to what took place last year. The way the language reads here today, I anticipate that there will be some changes to it before it hits the final version, if you will. But we are looking for other options around the non-state match. We're working with the board, with the Lewis and Clark entity. It's interesting because the state of Iowa saw what Minnesota did last year. So they are working, they're scrambling down there to do something very similar to keep the project moving forward in Iowa as well. But yes, we're working very hard to try and come up with some other options for other than state fund matches.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, okay. So I understand, because probably like your counties there, Ramsey County is tax poor too, in a huge way. Our tax base is very, very limited. But when there are needs, we have to pay our share. And so I think it would be, incumbent on the local government to find a way that the residents of that community who needs the water to, if it's not a 1% tax increase, a half a cent or something, that they can say that we are invested in this too. And I don't know what the upfront looks like or meant, but we're so close. You're so there, and if they can find a way to make an investment, I'm sure, we made a huge investment, $22 million, right, that came from our party that says we're going to support, the rural community in this effort. And so, I would like to see if there's a way that they can support this also.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Moran, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we are extremely grateful for the language that passed last year. And we are thankful that Governor Dayton led the charge early on with that last year. And that was able to meet one, possibly two hookups in Rock County. Now we have all of Nobles County and, again, the largest community, the city of Worthington. We are in these conversations with the governor, like we had said, and with others, trying to find every possible solution as well. The bill that we bring forward today is a bonding request or bonding proposal. But again, we understand that there's a long road ahead of us, and that's why we also understand the local debate, if you will, and so we are looking for additional non-state dollars. Thank you, Representative Moran.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, thank you for bringing this forward. This is a big issue down there. If you actually start looking at the population numbers of the counties, you understand why it's very difficult for them. Rock County alone, their entire population is 9,500 people. To do this project in their county, it's enormous cost to them. They need our help. So I want to thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the members? Any questions or input from the audience? Please step forward and give your name. You can go right up there. We want to make sure the tape records every word you say.
Chair, I'm Pat Boston, Mayor of Laverne. And first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for what they did to help us get construction underway in Minnesota for last year. I heard comments of the Viking Stadium and St. Paul Stadium. And us residents down there in Laverne, population 4,745 people, roughly half of the county population, county seat. We are going after a product that is basically sustaining our economic sustenance in Rock County. I grew up on a farm, cattle, hogs. I live in Laverne now, and my brother still farms. If you look at the economic impact of rural water in the southwest corner of Minnesota, you're talking huge economic dollars. To name a few of the large livestock operations down there, Pipestone Systems. My brother raises 35,000 head of hogs a year for a family farm, got four employees, and roughly 2,500 head of cattle. Schwartz Farms, numerous hog barns in Rock County, Pipestone County, Lincoln County. Christensen Farms, served by rural water from the Lincoln, Pipestone, and Rock County rural water systems. We're talking hundreds of thousands of head of livestock for economic maintainability and economic vitality down there in southwest Minnesota. Lewis and Clark Water will provide the ingredient for southwest Minnesota to keep growing in this operation of agribusiness. Laverne is an agribusiness community. We have many farmers that come and spend their local dollars in Laverne, and that without a strong farming community, our community will die. And so bringing in Lewis and Clark Water as far as funding that mechanism, you know what, I as the mayor of Laverne, as far as funding options of getting bonding dollars for the Viking Stadium and the St. Paul Stadium, we're all for it. That's a quality of life thing, and on the huger side of the economic opportunities for the Viking Stadium, yeah, that brings the economy of scale to Minneapolis-St. Paul. So we're for that in rural Minnesota. We pay part of that through our taxes, and all we're asking for is help from the state, and we have the letter on file that future federal dollars will come back and pay for this. I was texting Senator Klobuchar and Senator Franken on the way up here saying that we're going to meet and discuss this, and thank you, Representative Hamilton, for taking the lead on this. But this is one of the pure community public infrastructure projects that I feel that is valid in helping us in rural Minnesota maintain our economic health. So,
thank you very much. Representative Mahoney and I share a lot of things. One of the things, we probably will go to a baseball game in St. Paul Saints baseball field someday. But we also share the same aquifer. The Prairie du Chien aquifer is a huge underground lake that ends right in my county. We have very fine water. We want to have you have the same.
Well, thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will renew my motion. They have House File 1111 as amended. It be passed. Huh? Not as amended? No amendments. That's nice. Have House File 1111 passed and be sent on to the Capital Investment Committee. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you for your attention. We are now adjourned.